America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him, excuse me.
Yep. You seen the numbers there of Newsmax going way up in several categories. They deserve it. Okay, I got several topics. The invasion, the child trafficking, they're taking them. Actually, our own government is taking the kids from parents so they can try use these kids all the time. So they get money for it and all that. So, and Trish Reagan is on about the Bud Light thing and other topics. So enjoy. Here we go.
Over 1 million children vanish each year.
The FBI has found dozens of missing children in Los Angeles. It's all part of what's being called Operation Lost Angels.
83,000 each month.
They found nearly 978 children went missing in 2019.
2,700 a day.
72 missing children across Indiana, Iowa, Ohio, and Georgia in the past several weeks.
115 per hour.
In the meantime, the Arizona Department of Child Safety says tonight they can't locate 44 children who are supposed to be in their custody.
One every 30 seconds.
Some in this operation were trafficked, some sexually and or physically abused.
This child trafficking thing is real. It has always existed.
Well, my name is Nancy Schaefer, and I'm from the state of Georgia in the United States. And thank you for your gracious invitation. I will share with you on the unlimited power of Child Protective Services. I served in the Georgia State Senate. And after 4 years of viewing the ruthless and unsparing actions of Child Protective Services, I wrote a scathing report entitled The Corrupt Business of Child Protective Services. The report cost me my Senate seat. This is not to say that there are not those children in wretched situations who need to be removed. There are, and we all agree.
If you have history in your past, you know of a story of an abusive child who was saved by CPS, you can't then assume that CPS saves everybody. Who is mainly involved in CPS? Hospitals and doctors. Why? Because people trust hospitals and doctors. They shouldn't, but they do. And in the same hospital where babies are being born, the same hospital, babies are being kidnapped. In the same place where people are being cured of cancer, the same place people are being killed with remdesivir and ventilators. And people can't separate that because they see it all as one. Something's either all good or it's all bad.
But tonight, I'm talking about those children removed from their homes intentionally for profit.
What is child trafficking? Child trafficking is when you kidnap a child for profit. In other words, if you take a child from its family and give it to somebody else for money, that's the definition of child trafficking. But what you need to recognize is that defines what the states are doing with the federal government.
There was no order.
There doesn't have to be an order. My baby is fine.
The mommy can go without doctor's order, but not the baby.
The states are taking children, giving them to somebody else for money that they get from the federal government. That means that all 50 states are involved in government-subsidized child trafficking. It's a ring. It is the largest and most pervasive child trafficking ring in the history of the world by sheer money and numbers.
Children are seized unnecessarily from their families due to the federal aid entitled the Adoption and Safe Families Act.
It was put into law in 1997 by Bill and Hillary Clinton, and I said it that way on purpose. And it is a law that literally steals money from the Social Security Fund and gives this money to the states in order to incentivize them to kidnap babies.
To receive the adoption incentives or bonuses, local CPS must have more children. They must have more merchandise to sell.
Every child, once you've added it all up, is worth approximately $1 million to the state. But we've been told that this is a $60 to $80 billion a year industry, meaning the federal government is taking $80 billion a year and giving that money to all of the 50 states to kidnap children.
Parents are victimized by the system that makes a profit for holding children longer and bonuses for not returning children to their parents.
But their own statistics state that 83% of all children who are taken by CPS, Child Protective Services, are for unsubstantiated allegations, meaning never should it have happened in the first place. So that, imagine anything else in the world where you know you get it wrong 83% of the time and you admit it, but you just keep doing it.
Case workers and social workers are often guilty of fraud. They withhold and destroy evidence.
Beyond this terrifying prospect, Andrew Bridgen, in his speech to Parliament just a few days ago, pointed out that the WHO will also decide what is science and what is disinformation, and then control what you can say around those parameters. Listen.
This will be enacted in law and binding in those two new instruments, that the WHO has the ability to say what is disinformation. And when anybody says to you that the science is settled on any issue, I suggest that this House would smell a rat straight away, because science is never settled. There is always open for modification, for new things to be discovered, theses to be refined. And what the WHO is saying is that the WHO will be the arbiter of what the science is, and that cannot be right.
All right. Now, in addition to those concerns, he brings up three additional important topics that I think deserve our attention. Who is the WHO? Who are their backers, and what are their conflicts? Well, who are they? This is one thing I may have missed before, is that they are a group that has superpowers, not because they're awesome and can like split wood like Captain America, but because they are immune to social order. Watch.
The WHO is domiciled in Geneva, and so it has special status. Its employees are exempt from tax, and they and their families all have diplomatic immunity. It is indeed a supranational body, unelected and unaccountable. I think my constituents would fear that.
Yes. Not his constituent, but I fear that.
And the largest backer? Well, I'm sure you're going to get to
that. We're going to get to that. Yeah, I know you want to say the name so much that rhymes with Schmilf Gates. But we're going to get there. Now, about those superpowers, most of us already know Dr. Tedros, and we are going to get to him later as well. But here's a name that Andrew Bridger mentions that's new to us, Dr. Harsh Vardhan, who joined the WHO in May of 2020. Let's let him tell us about Dr.
It's our children, not yours.
You don't even have children.
They are not the state's children. That is absolutely against everything. You are a piece. You are absolutely.
He doesn't even have children of his own.
You are absolutely disgracing parental rights here. You are a human rights violator.
Thanks, Nick.
Yeah, I'm a loon. Great comeback. Why don't you come with some philosophy?
That's all he does, is name call.
Instead of calling me names, why don't you?
We can call names. You're a piece of shit.
That's what we're standing for.
Like a piece of shit.
Freedom is what we stand for. You just said the state owns your children. Hey, excuse me. You stand back if you like. I'm not moving. I'm not moving. You got a mask. You're protected. You're good.
You're protected here.
You're protected, right? You're good.
Unmask our kids.
What I'm looking forward to. is watching your political perspective be utterly annihilated in the election coming up in a few weeks, and the people who are standing up for a genuine community.
Yeah,
genuine
because you got $1.6 billion of our dollars going to CBC.
You just said the state owns your children.
We on the left have somehow missed the main lesson from the very atrocities and bigotry we committed ourselves to fighting. That we are all human, with vulnerability and fallibility, capable of being hurt and of making mistakes, with tribal tendencies, naturally, since we evolved in small groups for survival, and with the same capacity for good and evil acts. This unforgiving, unempirical, an undemocratic mob that substitutes outrage for morality, performance for virtue, and vengeance for justice, so certain in their convictions and so punishing in their condemnations as to burn books, to cancel and ruin lives without ever having truly listened once, to equate the mere name or presence of conservatives with harm, to dramatize their own victimhood, to try to fight prejudice with prejudice, racism with racism, and tyranny with tyranny, to fiercely advocate the destruction of innocent bodies without stopping once to consider the possibility that we could be the ones in the wrong, even when there's everything at stake. So willfully blind of the way, step by step, we have naively and eagerly been giving unprecedented legal, technological, and economic powers to governments and pharmaceutical corporations that have historically proven again and again and again their untrustworthiness, all in the name of being woke. This is not the tribe of empathy, humanism, and reason that I thought I joined at the age of 16. What would George Orwell make of the current state of the West? Personally, I think he'd weep or shit his pants from disbelief and terror at the trajectory we're currently on, for he would know exactly where we are headed. A totalitarian society empowered by pervasive surveillance technology that compels our speech and thereby controls our very thoughts. I still believe that liberals could be champions of compassion. If only we could deign to take the time and look, really look, at how, precisely, the ideology and policies we've pushed for have been affecting the most vulnerable members of our species, as well as our planet. I still believe in the core principles of liberal ideology, that no one should experience prejudice based on their race, ethnicity, sex, gender, sexual orientation, or religion. We are right. Of course we're right. The left has been right all along, and in our zealousness, fueled by resentment, we have gone too far. This is my message to my former comrades before I truly give up on them as parishioners of the new and powerful religion of wokeness and accept my place as a modern heretic. We must, as Dr. Jordan Peterson and Mr. Russell Brand so urgently and rightly plead, wake up.
We need to protect women's rights.
Yes, we need to protect their bodily autonomy and their lives from dangerous pregnancies.
Yes.
So we need to tell them that a fetus is not a living thing, just a clump of cells, despite evidence that we human beings are social learning creatures capable of processing pain starting in the first trimester. That it's their body, their choice, despite the indisputable fact that these children have entirely unique DNA and fingerprints, entirely separate bodies, that literally tearing said children to pieces, or in the case of failed abortions, to leave them in a box to die is liberating and empowering because, woman, we don't need no man or families, and nothing is more important than a career or realistically a job, despite the reality that we are, once again, starting in the womb, deeply social creatures. And that they should have abortion parties to normalize and glorify the medically unnecessary termination of innocent human life.
Oh my God. Oh my God. We're the villains.
What? No, we are the victims.
We need to protect trans kids. Hell yeah, we need to protect their human rights and let them know that they are seen, they are accepted, and they are loved. Yes, So we need to let them make adult decisions as minors and encourage their transition with or without parental knowledge, let alone consent. Subject them to chemicals and surgeries usually reserved for either treating cancer patients or for castrating violent sex offenders, and insist it's reversible despite testimonies from thousands of detransitioners, and even arrest and or remove custody rights from any legal guardian that dares to object, all despite the fact that long-term studies show no reduction on suicidality after the initial 5 years, and all the while enriching pharmaceutical corporations to unprecedented wealth by creating lifelong patients out of otherwise healthy children. Is it possible that in this story, we're the bad guys? No!
Oh, now you want it to be illegal if we use the wrong pronouns?
Calling me a man over and over again. I feel like that should be illegal. I don't know.
Oh, I imagine the lawyers would like this. There'd be a whole lot of lawsuits. We're going to get into that story. This Dylan Mulvaney has a new deal, by the way. Maybe it's Maybelline, maybe it's a man. Plus, there's a method to their madness. Those climate activists, they say it's all for a good reason. We're going to explore that. Plus, military's going green? Really? This is where we're heading? Yes, according to our energy secretary, who really doesn't know a whole lot about energy, the military's going green.
Do you support the military adopting that EV fleet by 2030?
I do, and I think we can get there as well.
Is this part of the whole ESG craze? And speaking of ESG, lots of questions still swirling right now around Tucker Carlson's departure there at Fox. Did ESG investors play a role in this? Or was it just as simple as the Murdochs really didn't like what they saw in his text messages? And as Biden warns, conservatives are dangerous for America. Listen to what Donald Trump has to say.
I will be retiring the name Crooked from Hillary Clinton so that we can use the name for Joe Biden, because he'll be known from now on as Crooked Joe Biden.
Coming up on today's program, we have Donald Trump's son, none other than Eric Trump, who's going to weigh in on the 2024 race and tell us why he thinks his dad is best positioned to be the next president of the United States. It would certainly make history now, would it not? Hello, everyone. Welcome to the program. I am Trish Regan. This is the Trish Regan Show. We're brought to you in part by LegacyPMInvestments.com. Okay, I'm just going to try and hope that that was just some sort of poor excuse for a nonsense video, because you realize the kind of trouble we'd all be in. I mean, half the time you can't even keep it straight. I keep making the point that they is not even grammatically correct. I mean, they doesn't even make any sense. I was trying to read a story about a they and a they that got married, and it was like they. It was in the New York Times, by the way, and I couldn't even follow it, right? Because it didn't make any sense. Could they not have picked they, by the way? I don't know, like a whole new word or something. It's very, very confusing. The idea that somehow you think it might be okay to go and like sue people for this. Well, what's the plan? Like, you're going to fine them, you're going to put them in jail because they misgendered you? I don't think so.
Lock them up.
But you know, this is part of this woke craze right now, which is taking over the country in a really, really nutty way. It's a totally nutty way. I mean, now apparently Dylan Mulvaney is who we need to consult for makeup advice. Check this out. Maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's Maybelline. That was the expression, right? That we used to hear for years on TV. But now it's a maybe it's Maybelline. Maybe it's a man. I'm sorry, but this is nuts. All right. This is really, really nuts. Now, I will say, heck, you know, if this darn makeup company can turn a man into looking like a woman, then, you know, hey, maybe they got a reason for selling their stuff. But, you know, it's just preposterous. Like, that is just the reality of it. Again, maybe Maybelline is trying to like make themselves more hip. I don't know. I was talking actually to one of the team members on the show. He doesn't work. Anyway, I've used Maybelline products actually for years. I use their eyeliner. I have it on today, but I think I may have to like revisit Maybelline thing. There are women sports bra thing. I thought was pretty offensive. You see all the guys out there. They're like up in arms about the whole Bud Light thing. Bud Light's really getting hit hard. Sales just keep falling. And yet women don't seem to be too worked up about this. I don't really understand that, because especially when you think about how this whole movement is trying to replace women, certainly on the athletic fields,
right? You got a whole new record you got to beat in swimming these days, or in a track race. But how are women really supposed to compete with that? I mean, again, women deserve access to all of these education scholarships. And if this thing continues, meaning that, you know, everybody just is treated equally because everybody's a they, then you're not going to have the same opportunities for women. So I just say this as somebody who cares about women, who cares about young women, about girls. I want to make sure that they get access to all the opportunities that they should, and it shouldn't be taken away by a guy. I mean, think about the oxymoron. We played you the other day the clip from Leah Thomas saying that it was feminists that were transphobic. I mean, think about where we are in society right now, where somehow the feminists, which, by the way, the left used to embrace and kind of, if you ask me, corrupted the term of feminism. They said, you know, feminism is great. And yet simultaneously, now Leah Thomas says it's the feminists that are bad because they're the ones that are transphobic. I mean, this logic is getting increasingly difficult to follow. Meanwhile, our government has a brand new idea. Why not just make the military green?
Splendid idea.
Then we'll really win all the wars.
Do you support the military adopting that EV fleet by 2030?
I do, and I think we can get there as well. And I do think that reducing our reliance on the volatility of globally traded fossil fuels, where we know that global events such as the war in Ukraine can jack up prices for people back home, it does not contribute to energy security. I think energy security is achieved when we have homegrown clean energy that is abundant, like you see in Iowa. We think that we can be a leader globally in how we have become energy independent.
Oh, yeah, that's like really gonna fly. I mean, look, I don't have a problem with them trying things and experimenting with things. I'm a big believer in we need all the energy sources we can get. Let's not kid ourselves. You want to go energy independent? Then okay, you know, go for it. By the way, don't make our lives miserable in the process. Make sure that everybody sort of has a way to access cheap energy in the interim. We shouldn't make everybody's life miserable unless, in fact, that is exactly what they want to do. Consider this. There is a big shut down your highway in DC this week. And one of the activists behind it said, this is what it's about, making people's lives difficult. Really? I mean, you think that's the answer? You're just going to make everybody's life difficult now. Okay, so that maybe it gets better in the future. I got news for you. Hey, look what happened when our economy shut down in March 2020. We gave birth to a whole new industry of people working from home, of using Zoom, for example. That would not have occurred had we not been sort of up against it. When the chips are down, Americans rally. So I can tell you today, like if we suddenly lost oil and there was no source of oil in the world whatsoever, I guarantee you Americans would make the switch to green energy like that. Yes, I think it's worth planning for, but you cannot turn off energy as we know it and expect that people are going to be okay with that. I mean, you're going to have massive economic hardship. We've already seen it. Certainly with inflation, you've got energy prices creeping up again. Eric Trump is going to weigh in on this because the economy is a big part of what he talks about. You know, it's a big part of what I talk about. But before we do that, I want you to see right here, our energy secretary being asked maybe about a year and a half ago by a friend of mine that I used to work with Bloomberg at about what her plan was for energy independence in America. Watch.
What is the Granholm plan to increase oil production in America?
Oh my God, that is hilarious. Would that I had the magic wand on this. As you know, of course, oil is a global market. It is controlled by a cartel. That cartel is called OPEC, and they made a decision yesterday that they were not going to increase beyond what they were already planning. So, you know, the interesting thing is, you know, the Department of Energy has an energy information agency, and that agency does the forecasting of what oil and gas prices are going to be.
It tells you everything you need to know. In other words, folks, there is no plan. The only plan they can come up with is, okay, maybe let's try this green thing for our military, which, let's be honest, you can do a little experimental stuff. That's fine. But let's make sure that our military is equipped with all of the things that our military should need, right? This is like very important. We need to make sure that our military has the best access to everything. And you don't want to be like stranded in the middle of who knows where, you know, because you can't get a charging station for your Humvee. I mean, this is, you know, I mean, fine, go for it. Do some experiments, but do not make the military dependent on any kind of technology that is not ready. Don't make the American people dependent on that kind of technology. This idea that, you know, people can just go out and buy an EV for $60,000.
People don't have that. And there's this total lack of realization of what life is actually like. I mean, I get it. You know, you live in your ivory tower. You get to give fancy speeches for lots of money. You get to work at the federal government. You have no idea the challenges that everyday Americans are really facing. And a lot of those challenges are coming, frankly, from very, very bad economic policy, including energy policy. And yet Jennifer Granholm just wants to double down on it. And she's got all the activists that want to shut down highways out there in DC to go along with it. Because yes, let's make people's lives difficult. Another component, and we talk about this a lot, another component to it all is what's called environmental social governance. And that is where a lot of big asset management firms on Wall Street will come in and say, okay, we're going to invest in you, but we're not going to invest in you. And it's because of environmental social governance. In other words, are you playing by the set of rules that we think you should play by? If you're not, then we're not going to buy your stock. And so this has had a big effect on a lot of companies. I mean, I was saying BlackRock has a stake in just about everything. That's the biggest ESG investor out there and happens to be the biggest asset manager as well. There was chatter, of course, you know, did ESG investing have anything to do with Tucker Carlson's absence? I want to show you a meme. I want to show you this meme. This is great. One of you guys sent this to me. This is the new person that's going to take over for Tucker. How do you like that? Right? That person should be ESG compliant, right? That person should be woke enough. My gosh. I mean, I guess nobody cares about ratings or making any money. Did that have something to do with it? I doubt it. I mean, on the fringe, yes. I mean, I don't think Fox won any friends by having some of the stories that he reported on and others reported on being out there. All that said, I'm somewhat suspicious now that part of this really has to do with kind of a thread of thought that maybe they're in the management where they, you know, they don't like Donald Trump and they need to get away from Trump. And so they want to try and have a different cast of characters that they can put forward, maybe to get back to some of that kind of old fashioned conservatism that was popular maybe during the Romney Bush times. Again, no inside knowledge. I don't really know. I'm just sort of grasping at straws here, trying to make heads or tails of why they're willing to see their ratings plummet. And by the way, these ratings have plummeted down 56% in the most recent numbers. It's really pretty startling. It's kind of like Bud Light, right? When you look at what Bud Light did to itself, and the sales numbers that just continue to plunge. It's a similar story over at Fox because you have a lot of people that were very invested in that 8 p.m. show. And they're like, no way, I don't want anything to do with it. I mean, you look at Newsmax's ratings. My gosh, they're exploding, right? Every single night since this has happened, Newsmax, Eric Bolling over there at 8 p.m. is just really killing it. So it shows you that people are looking for something different. They're also looking, hopefully, for some other media sources, right? Which is why I'm here. I have my podcast. Please make sure you subscribe to the channel. I think that there's an opportunity there for people to still seek out viewpoints that are diverse. And as long as we can get through, and that's important, right? You want to make sure that we can all get through. Important to have that direct connection. As long as we can get through, I think that we can still have a pretty big influence, albeit a little bit more splintered, right, on society. The advantage Fox had was they were the only big conservative network. They were on every single day, and they had sort of a predictable lineup. And now people are saying, well, what is that lineup going to look like? And I think they're out there sampling, looking for new things and new people, because you want to have this sense that someone's there looking out for you. And there's a feeling right now that maybe that's not the case over at Fox. Turning to 2024, we continue to get new polls in showing that Americans don't really want Joe Biden to run for office. You know, they think he's kind of getting up there in age. Well, a new report in Axios, it's a website, a political website, suggests that he's really up there in age to the point where he's not quite able to function the way you would expect a president of the United States to be able to function. In fact, according to this report, Biden is only functional 6 hours a day, 5 days a week. Well, that's a heck of a work schedule. In fact, his staff is only allowed to schedule things between the hours of 10 a.m. and 4 p.m.
So hard.
It's a short work day. And doesn't he like live there too? Anyway, I just gotta say it's a little weird because, you know, when you're president, you kind of have a hard job. It's why when you see these presidents, like they go into office and they look one way and then they come out and they look a whole other way. and you can really see how they age. Actually, I think Donald Trump was spared that. He didn't look quite, he kind of looked the same when he came out. But, and he also, by the way, would just work around the clock, around the clock. But, you know, Joe Biden's very disciplined, 10 to 4. That's the deal. Weekends off. So how the heck is he going to campaign? I mean, I'm just asking an honest question. If I were running his campaign, I'd be like, okay, so what are we doing? Like, what are you going to do for the chicken dinner on Friday night? You know, that all the donors are paying $50K a pop to go to. Can you go to the dinner? Can he make it up that late? Do we have to give him time off earlier in the day when he has that evening event? Can he travel to all these various places, manage the time zone changes, and actually get up and give a speech in a coherent way?
I need my afternoon nap.
Oh, well, nobody expects that of him, right? Let's not kid ourselves. I mean, Joe Biden giving a coherent speech, he's never been able to give one. I mean, now it's just that much worse because he's 80 years old. By the way, Donald Trump saying he's no longer calling him Sleepy Joe. He's got a whole new moniker, and he's actually taken that moniker from Hillary Clinton because he used to call her corrupt, and he's giving that to Joe. He's now actually bestowing the term beautiful on Hillary Clinton. So she is now beautiful Hillary Clinton, and it's corrupt Joe Biden, of course, according to Donald Trump. He gave this news when he was in New Hampshire just this week.
I will be retiring the name Crooked from Hillary Clinton and her moniker. And I'm going to give her a new name. I don't know, like maybe Lovely Hillary or Beautiful Hillary. But I'm going to retire the name Crooked so that we can use the name for Joe Biden, because he'll be known from now on as Crooked Joe Biden.
Anyway, look, it's going to be a crazy race all over again. 2024 is really going to be one for the history books. You got a president who was impeached twice, who, you know, they're threatening with jail, who's got a zillion lawsuits against him, and yet he's coming back to run again. And right now he's way ahead in the Republican primary, suggesting that he is going to be the Republican nominee. So think about that. Think about how crazy this world is, and think about, you know, what he is also up against, right? There's a whole machine that wants to destroy him and destroy any member of the media, let's be honest, that might actually say, gee, the guy's got a point. You know, I was talking to Alan Dershowitz the other day. He's going to be on the show. He's out with a brand new book called Get Trump. Kind of funny name, right? I mean, it makes sense. Anyway, he was saying he's a civil libertarian. He actually might even still vote for Joe Biden, but he's just really disgusted at the destruction that they're trying to engage in terms of our Constitution, right? Because they're going after Trump with so many different lawsuits in so many different ways. And that really feels, to him anyway, as a constitutional sort of person, as somebody who's a legal scholar, you know, very, very famous for all of his big cases that he's taken on, and somebody who believes in the legal system, he feels like that is sort of being destroyed. Politics aside, right? Because again, he thinks he's going to vote for Joe, though. He's not fully sure. We'll see. We're going to talk to him next week, so stay tuned for that. But today, I got a very big interview coming up. I want to get to Eric Trump, who's going to weigh in on all these things that we're seeing right now, including the military that somehow is going green. My home state, there in Manchester, New Hampshire, you saw the former president speaking. He's really digging into Joe Biden and some of the policies there. I'm so thrilled to welcome to the program for the first time. We've spoken on other occasions, Eric Trump, the son of former President Trump and the executive vice president of the Trump Organization. Hey, good to see you.
It's good to be on, Trish.
So, wow, lots going on. Let's start first in New Hampshire and some of these rallies. You know, we're seeing, again, a lot of enthusiasm. Your dad is way ahead in the polls. He's been pulling ahead in the polls, proving that, I guess, some of the legal stuff going on isn't quite panning out the way maybe some people had hoped. What do you feel right now in this stage in the game? Where do you think you are?
Listen, I feel like you have an entire country right now that misses Donald Trump. I can't get on a plane on any given day where I don't have 10 people come up to me and say, we miss your father. We absolutely love him. The country's going in terrible direction. I mean, there's no one knows the business world better than you, Trish. And look at every metric there is out there. Look at consumer confidence. Mm-hmm. Look at inflation, the price of everything. No one's talking about oil and gas right now, which is kind of surprising because oil and gas is starting to go through the roof again. And, you know, I think people have been so kind of desensitized to high prices across everything. Look at the price of eggs. Look at the price of a 2x4 versus when my father was in there. Again, you're running in certain categories of goods. You've got, you know, 15, 20, 30% inflation. Overall inflation is, you know, high single digits. That really, really hurts. And by the way, that hurts the class of people that Biden pretends to care about the most, which is, you know, kind of the lower end middle class, right? People who have less assets that otherwise kind of inflate in value with inflation. People that are renting apartments, people who are living day to day, that hurts them substantially more than ever before. And frankly, inflation's outpacing wages in this country. So you've got that problem. You've got just the embarrassment of the national stage where you have China that's going around the world. They want to be literally the negotiators, the arbitrators of conflict around the world. Wasn't that always America's place? Wasn't that what people always looked to us to do, right? I mean, isn't that why the United Nations is always in New York? Yet President Xi is literally going out trying to broker peace between Russia and the Ukraine. I mean, you have wars breaking out all over the world. People don't respect us anymore. We're about to lose the US currency. Biden spends more time worried about transgender bathrooms than he does, you know, about all the problems.
So that's mind-boggling to me. I mean, you bring up so many good points, and I've been saying this forever on the show, like inflation, all of his policies have been so driven towards creating more inflation. And frankly, you know, they didn't do a darn thing to kind of contain the energy situation. I remember when your dad bought oil for the SPR, the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, and it was like dirt cheap, and he filled it up, and the Democrats were so angry. They said this was a giveaway to oil companies. And I'm like, yeah, you needed that, didn't you? Because, you know, Biden keeps draining the SPR whenever he can. Like, we have major economic problems. We have major international problems. You made the point that he's focused on all these social issues, which frankly, you know, I don't think are going to get them that far. You look at even Hillary Clinton. She got very criticized for this, but she said, hey, like, this is not a winning issue. Parents aren't going to go for this. So why does he double down?
I have no idea. I mean, it's actually lunacy. I mean, some of the social issues that they're pushing relative to the issues at hand, which affect every single person, is crazy. I mean, yesterday with, again, wars about to break out all over the world, what's happening in Russia, Ukraine, what's happening between China and Taiwan and all that, he comes out and he announces that, congratulations, the U.S. military, we'd like them to be all electric. How do you run fighter jets on, you know, on batteries? I guarantee you they don't go all that fast. You know, where do you charge batteries in the middle of a desert? You have another war in the Middle East. You're in the middle of Afghanistan, some valley somewhere. Where do you plug in your Humvee or your tank to charge it? Yeah, it's insane. I mean, it's truly, truly insane. And this is the crap that they're worried about right now. And while you have, again, an economy that's totally failing, while we're being disrespected all around the world, one of the things that's really kind of personal to me is what's happening to U.S. currency. If we lose the United States currency, that's it for this country. And you have, what, 18 countries now or 19 countries that are totally happy getting off, you know, we're spending trillions of dollars. We're handing out money to everybody around the world while not actually taking care of ourselves. Our infrastructure's failing. We've just become an embarrassment. And my that's what my father's running on. My father's, it's not Democrat versus Republican. It's common sense. Let's restore the might of America. Let's restore respect for America. Let's restore common sense to society. And that's what he's fighting. And Trish, they're trying to take him down every single day. They've weaponized the entire system. They've weaponized every district attorney, every attorney general in every single state. They couldn't get them through the executive branch. We all saw that, right? It failed every single time. So guess what they try and do? They weaponize these Democratic lunatic, you know, attorney generals and district attorneys who want to go back to 2006, where he paid an NDA to somebody who admitted, that same person admitted that the thing never actually happened, $130,000 NDA, but yet they'll spend $200 million shutting down New York to bring Donald Trump in. They'll shut down every intersection. They'll shut down the FDR drive. They'll shut down, you know, blocks and blocks around Trump Tower. They'll bring up 38,000 members of the NYPD. They'll bring them all into work over what? $100,000 NDA from 18 years ago? No one buys this nonsense anymore, but this is their playbook. This is how they play. This is how they try and disqualify Donald Trump, who's leading the polls by 35% over his nearest.
Yeah, no, it scares them. Eric, the Hunter Biden laptop, you remember that was like no-go territory. So many journalist organizations, including the New York Post, which had reported on it, really got hammered. And in fact, in some cases, saw their social media accounts taken offline. It's fascinating to me because there was a letter from all these, you know, ex-CIA folks saying, oh, this was, you know, totally Russian disinformation. This was the same crowd, of course, that said what we now know was disinformation, the dossier. They said that was real. And so I just question, when we go into 24 here, like, how difficult is that to navigate as a campaign for your dad when you've got the establishment saying, okay, this is true when it's actually false, and this is false when it's actually true.
Well, listen, I think the government's lost so much credibility. If I went back, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm not a guy who wears a tinfoil hat.
Right.
If I was to play this story back 6 years ago and I was to tell you all these things that were going to happen, that, you know, the FBI and campaigns and Hillary Clinton were going to pay for a dossier that said that Trump was colluding with Russia, I'd never believe it. I'd say, give me a break. That, you know, former CIA guys, 51 of them to be exact, were going to come out and, you know, write a story that the Biden laptop, the Hunter Biden laptop, was disinformation, when it has pictures of the guy with prostitutes doing illegal drugs, has emails from the guy's Gmail account or whatever the hell it was, you know, to people all over the world extracting money. Trish, if I did 1/1000th of that, I would be in jail for the rest of my life. And the fact that they've been able to cover this up, the fact that he's lying on firearms forms, you know, 44 or 77s, you know, that he's not in possession of drugs, he's not doing drugs. If I did that, I'd be in jail under all of those statutes. But you know what? He gets a free pass. Right now he's selling $500,000 finger painting, you know, his finger painting art. You know, it's not the people in the U.S. are buying this crap. You know who's buying it? You know, the Chinese and various people who want to otherwise have influence. And everybody.
Yeah, no, it's wild stuff. And it's a tricky thing for you, for you and your siblings, because anything you do is going to be looked at through that prism of, oh, is he getting a special favor? But I, you know, for some reason, I'm perplexed that they never look at the other side in the same way. Tucker Carlson out at Fox News, your reaction?
Well, I think Tucker's a good man, and he had an amazing voice, and he, you know, he really called things, I think, incredibly fairly, right? I mean, he wasn't partisan. There were things that, frankly, I disagreed with on his show, but it actually made you want to turn in. It made you want to tune in. He was great. He was a great voice for conservatives. He's got an amazing future. I never saw that one coming in a million years. I never saw that coming. And I got to know Tucker very well, as you clearly did, and. He's a great person, and I think his future is going to be incredibly bright. I think he's got an incredible audience. In a certain way, I think Fox maybe even empowered him to have a larger audience than he otherwise did, because it's, you know, it's crazy. The people who they try and suppress, the Joe Rogans of the world, the Donald Trumps of the world, the people that they try and beat into the ground, for some reason always come out kind of on top, and it's remarkable. There's a credibility that's gained as soon as the system kind of piles on them. And I think you're seeing that with Tucker. You certainly saw that with my father. I mean, my father has more credibility having gone through the Russia hoax, having been impeached once, been impeached twice over the nonsense, having them go after his Supreme Court justices, make up horrible allegations that were totally false, right? Everything he says about the deep state now really kind of resonates true. He was right. He was right that they were spying on his campaign. He was right that there was no Russia collusion and that this whole thing was made up by another political party. And in a certain way, it gives you chips. And I think that very same thing has happened with Tucker. He's going to have an awesome future. I think he's going to be a great voice in the Republican Party for a long time to come, and just for conservatives in general. And frankly, for common sense, as I said, it's not even about Democrats versus Republicans. It's about common sense. And
I think that's why your dad got elected. I mean, the common sense that he put forward. And I remember, because, you know, I'm a policy wonk. I read every single tax policy from every candidate. I mean, no offense against Ted Cruz, but your dad's was better. I think he had a VAT tax in there. I read every single one, every single word, and I was like, wow, this is good. Like, this is good economic policy.
You know, and now you're looking at administration. I can't believe this. There's a great article yesterday about how, you know, the higher your FICO score is, the more interest you should pay on a mortgage. And I'm sitting there saying, Trish, this can't be serious. I mean, so, you know, I pay every single credit card early. I pay my mortgage on time. I do X, Y, and Z, right? I'm perfectly responsible. Never miss a bill. Never have any kind of default. I have a 800 credit score or whatever it is. You mean to tell me I should be paying more than the person who doesn't pay their credit card? You can't make up this narrative. You're literally going to have people who have perfect credit scores before they refinance their house, you know, default on a credit card on purpose to screw up their credit score, only to get a lower interest rate on their home, only to then pay their... You literally can't.
It's crazy. It's socialist, really, or it's a wealth transfer. It's kind of a tax. It's call it what you want, but it's bonkers in terms of the policy. And I hope Republicans can strike that down. I know they're working on it, but it's supposed to start like now. A lot of bad things happening for sure. And I think Americans are hungry for change, And they're going to do a lot to try and suppress your dad. Quickly, just before I let you go, because I always wonder about this, you know, you have a wonderful family. I know your wife, and she's just fantastic. Your whole family, by the way, really, really just a great group of people. What has this been like? And if you could, like, turn back the clock, would you have not gone down the escalator? Would you have not engaged in any of this? Because, again, I just think it's tough from a personal perspective. You must have Teflon there, because it's hard to deal with. Eric, what is it like on a personal level?
You know, I'll never forget my father saying when we first jumped at the race, he goes, "We're going to learn who our real friends are quickly." And I think it was maybe the most insightful thing that he ever said. This was in his office 3 days before he went down that escalator, right when he kind of announced to us that he wanted to do this. But he goes, "You're going to find out who your true friends are." And we have. I would have never imagined in a million years the corruption, the nonsense, how they're willing to lie, cheat, and steal, how they're willing to slander a family, how they're willing to go after you when you've lived a perfectly clean, beautiful, innocent life. Thank God, by the way, we had. It's tough as hell, and Trish, and for every single arrow that the public has seen us take, I'm telling you, we've taken 100 behind the scenes that the public hasn't seen, but we love this country. We absolutely love this country. And I'm telling you, I look at the other Republicans that are running right now. These guys wouldn't last in that gunfight for 3 seconds. The other side would bankrupt them.
Why not?
They would destroy them. They couldn't put up the fight. You know, it took a guy like Donald Trump, who didn't care, who had everything he needed in life, who had many billions of dollars behind his name, who could afford to fight this nonsense off. We've spent hundreds of millions of dollars worth of legal fees fighting nonsense, absolute nonsense. The whole Russia hoax, look how much money we spent on that. You know, then we find out that Hillary funded the thing. We go and we sue Hillary for it, and the judge sanctions us for suing somebody who bankrolled something that literally took down our nation for 3 years, that destroyed our country, that created divisiveness between the two largest nuclear superpowers in the world. It was proven. The FBI proved it. We went after her. We sued her for this. And guess what? We get sanctioned for it. But it takes a guy like Donald Trump, who has backbone and who has the ability monetarily to do this. Any of these other guys, they will break in a second. And that's how they flip them into rhinos. A lot of these people go into, you know, government with the greatest intentions in the world, and then the system piles on. But the difference is they don't have Donald Trump's ability to fight against the system. Again, they don't have the money, nor do they have the backbone to do it. And they immediately cave.
That's a fighter.
And honestly,
so you guys are too.
They become different people. And so it's the greatest thing in the world that he did it. My father's the greatest man in the world. I've never been more proud of him. As many arrows as I've personally taken, and Laura's taken, my kids have taken, and Donna, Ivanka, and Barron, and Melania, and everybody else, I will be the first person by his side. I will fight like hell. And I promise you, Trish, we're gonna beat these guys again. We better. Otherwise, I truly believe in my heart of hearts, and I'm not saying this because I'm alarmist, we will not have a country. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, a lot at stake. Eric Trump, thank you so much.
Thanks, Trish.
With that in mind, take a look again at Donald Trump this week in Manchester, New Hampshire, a town I know very, very well, New Hampshire. Born and raised, former Miss New Hampshire, by the way, born and raised in New Hampshire, a great place. And they have a very sort of libertarian and conservative in some ways spirit. He got a warm welcome, and he made an important point, especially considering how Joe Biden keeps saying that conservatives want to destroy our country. Apparently, it's somehow offensive. I mean, the idea that the words "Make America Great Again" can somehow be offensive. I mean, that's where we are in society. I mean, think about even when he was running back in 2016, and on college campuses, you'd have kids going nuts because, no, we can't have a Trump sign. I'm like, the guy's the Republican nominee for president, for goodness sakes, right? And that was back then. That was before any of the January 6th stuff. So people were already just insanely overboard and unwilling to listen to another point of view. Why? Like, what has happened to society where we get to the point where Dylan Mulvaney is the spokesperson for like everything now and says that people should be sued if you don't use the right pronoun when referring to this transgender? I mean, it's just, it's reaching a tipping point. And I think Americans are going to have something to say about it. All right, turning to some economic news, the Federal Reserve has finally come out with his explainer on why Silicon Valley Bank failed so miserably. Let me quote, "According to our government, Silicon Valley Bank was a highly vulnerable firm in ways that both its board of directors and senior management did not fully appreciate." Yeah, duh. Like, these people that ran this bank they were out there going long on 30-year bonds that were paying like nothing, treasury bonds of like, you know, 1.5% when everybody knew you were going to have inflation. I mean, the inflation was so, so obvious. So why were you doing that? Why were you taking on insane amounts of risk? Bad management that, by the way, the Federal Reserve out there in La La Land in San Francisco never bothered to do any due diligence on. So our government, if you ask me, this was a failure of our government because there are certain like rules and regulations and certain things that you need to do as a bank to continue as a bank so that we don't have bank runs and you don't have a collapse of the system. And yet SVB, they were taking crazy chances and nobody rang the alarm bell. It gets worse because really, investors should have seen through this. Like Wall Street should have seen through this. The analysts that cover the bank, they should have clued in because apparently, according to the federal government, the review that they came out with said that Silicon Valley Bank, quote, failed its own internal liquidity stress tests. All right, I don't want to use too many big words, but that's sort of a big deal. So like they have all these stress tests that they do at banks where you have to have enough liquidity. In other words, enough cash on hand to be able to pay your bills in the event of a big, big problem, right? So if you are hit with a bank run, can you still manage it? Well, Silicon Valley Bank had its own stress test that it had set up for itself, and it couldn't even pass those. So how did nobody see this one coming? How is it that you had the financial news media, including a guy over at CNBC that I used to work with, touting this stuff, touting the stock 2 weeks before the thing went totally under? I mean, this is just really, really bad. The report goes on. Silicon Valley Bank managed interest rate risks with a focus on short-run profits and protection from potential rate decreases and removed interest rate hedges rather than managing long-term, long-run risks and the rise of risky rates. I mean, it's crazy. It's almost like Silicon Valley Bank. They could be like the Biden administration. It's like when I sat here and I told you we're going to get inflation, we're going to get inflation, we're going to get inflation. And I've been saying this since August of 2020.
It keeps getting worse and worse.
I said, you cannot have the Fed doing this. And the federal government, by the way, it was Trump back then who gave out the second stimulus check. Oh, well, the Fed just kept printing money. And I'm like, this is not going to end well. It was so obvious to anyone that had just a couple of brain cells. And yet the Biden administration sat there with a straight face and they came into office and gave a third check, by the way, a third check. You had more stimulus spending from Congress as a whole. That was courtesy of the Democrats. And you had the Federal Reserve working to print even more money. And they all thought that this was transitory. Do you remember that? Transitory inflation. I mean, give me a break, people. You do not need a PhD in economics to be able to figure out that if you print that much money for that long a time period, and everybody's sitting home and they're getting checks from the federal government, there's going to be some pent-up demand and you're going to have a lot of inflation, which is exactly what we had. And yet these people over at Silicon Valley Bank, they couldn't figure that out. They're supposed to be in charge of the darn bank and managing the risk. And not only that, they didn't even bother to hedge it. What do you think you do? You're running a bank. You don't ever think that maybe, just maybe, there might be some inflation. I mean, did you really believe Joe Biden and Janet Yellen when they sat there and told you it was transitory? I'll tell you, if you did, you were a fool. And these people at Silicon Valley Bank, they were fools, and they're threatening the whole system as a result. Bad, bad stuff. Anyway, don't get, you know, I get worked up about the economy, right? that's just inflation. This is what sort of gets me on fire, and my frustration is off the charts only because it was all so avoidable. This is why policy matters. This is why elections matter, right? We want our economy to do well. We want low inflation. We want strong growth. We want to be able to benefit from that. Listen, I want to take a quick break and do a little commercial for Key City Capital, keycitycapital.com. One of our sponsors, they know there's inflation out there. And if you want with the theme of investing, and those of you that might be a little worried right now, legacypminvestments.com, you know, they're one of our sponsors. They 50% of Americans don't want him to run. 51% of Democrats don't want him to run, but he's running anyway, by the way. We saw just the other day, he struggles to remember reporters' names. And apparently, you got to get your questions cleared over there at the White House. Take a look. This reporter's cue card was right there in Joe Biden's pocket. He knew to call on her and how to pronounce her name because, well, there was a picture and her potential question. Anyway, another story just coming in about Joe Biden. This one, I mean, you cannot make this up. he's claiming that he has six grandchildren. He's leaving out his seventh grandchild. That would be the child of Hunter. Are we allowed to talk about that? I don't know these days. You never know what you're allowed to talk about these days. Anyway, he had this whole take your child to work event there at the White House. Very nice to do, by the way. I've done that a lot. I think it's great to show your kids where you work, all that kind of thing. For me right now, it's a little bit easier, but they used to come occasionally to the studio with me. And he took some questions from some of the kids there. And then he kind of struggled with his answer about his own family and said he had six grandchildren instead of seven.
One granddaughter lives in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia. One granddaughter lives in New York. One granddaughter lives in Washington. One granddaughter lives in Wilmington, Delaware. And the other grandson, my grandson lives in California. I left somebody out, didn't I? Anyway, Philadelphia, Wilmington, and I did say five. You're right. So let me see. I got one in New York, two in Philadelphia. There's a three. No, three, because I got one granddaughter who is, I don't know.
That's bad.
Yeah.
That's
bad. Yeah.
Ouch. Okay. He left out one, but you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I'll tell you one guy I will never leave out, never out of any show. And that is my little guy, Fluffy. This is Fluffy. He is not a kid, but he sometimes feels like one. You know, he's the one that never, ever, ever talks back, right? This guy is just so loving and so sweet. And it's why I take his diet very seriously. I feed him Rough Greens, which is a supplement I put on his food every single night. Up next week, I mentioned Alan Dershowitz. He is on the program on Monday, and he has just taken all kinds of heat from all sides, right? Because he's daring to stick up for the Constitution. Imagine, you stick up for the Constitution, everyone hates you for it. Well, it's just because he's saying that the Constitution is on Donald Trump's side. We're gonna get into all of it. I'll continue checking in with you here over the weekend, everyone. Do make sure that you subscribe to this channel if you haven't already. Give it a thumbs up, share, and I'll see you on Monday.
Instructions on where he wants to go.
Ese es tu padre? Sí. So he's got a cell phone, address. Looks like Louisiana. That's where he's supposed to go to. ¿Tú viniste solo?
¿Y tú, señora, desde Honduras o de?
Honduras.
¿Dos años?
2 years old, man, by himself.
¿Y ahorita lo consta?
Perfecto.
¿Estás bien?
¿Estás lastimado? ¿Tienes frío? ¿Sí tienes frío?
Pero si me disculpa, yo le estoy revisando la mochila porque no lo podía dejar solo, es un niño. Aquí, mire, yo
no. ¿Cuándo estabas ahí esperando, no sabes?
So a group of Chinese nationals just self-surrendered right now. We're continuing to document that story. But actually right behind us, we just met a woman who is pregnant from Honduras. She was actually about to cross the river where she just found this little boy who was abandoned by himself, unaccompanied minor. You can see he's wearing this little tag on around his neck. It actually has an address here in the United States. But this is actually quite common of the unaccompanied minors being left. But this woman says she couldn't leave him alone, but she was pregnant. So we're seeing this here in real time. You're also seeing just what Border Patrol and Texas DPS are going through here in the Rio Grande Valley sector. Here we have more Chinese nationals surrendering. As you guys can see, these are all men here. 91% of the Chinese nationals coming are.
Well, the story I was telling you earlier was one that I had taken a news crew down, and we were doing a tour of the border and came across ICE and Border Patrol on horseback and also on ATVs. And they were and they told us to be very careful that there were coyotes in the area that had
coyotes, not the animal coyotes.
Not the animals. These are the Mexican cartel coyotes, and they had executed the husbands of the two women and two daughters that they were now looking for. And what ended up happening is that they had separated themselves and had gone, I guess, back to Mexico. And eventually the women, we did come across them. And so in carrying one of the 8-year-olds to the car, and then we eventually got them to medical treatment and to the border ICE and stuff, and started talking to them. Now I've got a medical background, so started evaluating them. And the 8-year-old little girl couldn't speak. She couldn't talk. She couldn't do anything at all. So when we finally turned them over and they took them to the hospital and stuff, and I talked to the doctor in regards to what was going on, I got a call from him, and he said, basically, professional in the medical field, I just wanted to let you know, the little 8-year-old girl had 67 different DNA samples inside of her. So these are the things that people don't know about, and they don't understand that these women are being...
Stop right there. This is so shocking to me that the Biden administration is allowing, and the cartels are allowing this to go on and to launder money for this human trafficking and all these atrocities that are taking place. And here's an 8-year-old little girl, innocent little girl, that has 67 traces of DNA. How is that even possible?
That's the minimum that she could have been raped. And the reason why she couldn't talk was because she had screamed and cried for so many days and weeks coming up to America, the land of opportunity. Well, these women, the land of opportunity is filled with nothing but abuse, rape, and all of the things that take place, because every time that they walk and then they stop at night, that is what takes place at all night long.
It's all part of their plan. They want to ruin America, take it down, so they can control it and control you. All these 15-minute cities, no cars. You won't be able to get around. No way of making money. It'll all be digital. You'll have to be forced to take the jab, whatever they say the jab is. So, all right, I'm going to leave it there. Take care. God bless. See you tomorrow. Tomorrow, Hawa and Angeles are supposed to be on. So, see how it goes. I'll probably be on at 9 p.m. Eastern time. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.